Let's take the Word of God this evening and turn to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. And we concluded chapter 5 of the Sermon on the Mount, and we're now going into the next chapter, chapter number 6. Now we have to understand that the chapter of division do not necessarily mean a break in thought. Jesus Christ continues here in the same thought, and surely as we continue into chapter 6, the thoughts are connected. They're not separate. And I think that we'll understand that this evening. What I would like to do as we come to chapter 6 is kind of give us a summary of what we've been dealing with and what we're continuing to deal with, because he goes now into a different aspect, if you would, of the Christian life, but they're connected. They're not separate at all. And we're going to see that this evening. Now, what I would like to do is begin reading here in chapter number 6, and we'll read, if you would, chapter 6, verse 1, down to verse number 4, and then we'll skip around, and I'll let you know and guide you as we go through that. So notice here, Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. If you go down, if you would, verse number 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, when they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now if you go to chapter number 7, verse 24. Notice what the Word of God says. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, I want to draw your attention, if you would, and you say, wow, these seem disconnected, but I hope that we'll understand here this evening. I want to draw your attention, if you would, as we come to chapter 6 and back in the first portion that we just read. Notice what the Bible says in verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Notice, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And notice the phrase, and thy Father which seeth in secret. I want to preach this evening on just this thought, and perhaps if you underline things in your Bible, you can underline this portion. Thy Father which seeth in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret. Now, the Sermon on the Mount, as we've been studying here over the last several weeks, this is actually the 20th message. It is clear here that Jesus Christ is trying to teach them of the importance of the heart. What was happening is, as we studied in chapter number 5, much of the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees during this time and during the time of the disciples was emphasized on the outward of the acts that they were either committing or not committing. And they were emphasizing an outward performance, an outward keeping of the law. And so Jesus Christ is emphasized in chapter number 5 that all of these outward things that they've done does not make them guiltless. In other words, he exposes them that they were still guilty of breaking the laws that they themselves were saying that we are clean of. And so Jesus Christ, in chapter number 5, He talks about the fact that He's trying to correct that, not by reinterpreting the law, not by changing the law of Moses, but by speaking of what was the intent of the law, and He speaks of the spirit of the law, and not simply the letter of the law. And now He moves on into chapter 6, and He talks about, if you would, what is still seen of men. He talks really in chapter number 6 and chapter number 7 on practical living, but that comes out of chapter number 5, which is the heart that's emphasized. But can I say that as we read through chapter 6 and chapter 7, the heart is still emphasized. Why? Because of what He just said here. And He's going to say that now, He's going to say that later. Thy Father which seeth in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret. He said at the beginning of the chapter that don't do as the scribes and the Pharisees. They do things in order to be seen of men. They do things, and that's basically their reward. What motivates them to keep the law, the letter of the law, as they explain in chapter number 5, is for them to have the praise of men. An illustration is given for us later in Matthew, where Jesus Christ describes the life of a scribe and a publican, and the Pharisee that came into the temple was praying so that everybody could hear him. And people looked at the scribes and the Pharisees, and they thought to themselves that these are the standards, these are the people that we look up to. And Jesus Christ exposes them and shows that it was just an outward show, but their heart was corrupt. Now I want to preach on several truths here, and I'm going to give you three things this evening as we look into our passage. But before we study this passage, I want us to see how the Sermon on the Mount ends, because it's connected. The Sermon on the Mount ends with this familiar story or illustrations by our Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks on two houses. And one house was built upon a rock, and the floods came, and the tempest came, and the house withstood the tempest. And then there was another house that was built on the sand. And when the winds came and the rain fell, then because it was founded upon a sand, it fell. And why? Because of the foundation of that house. Now, can I say that on the outward, those two houses probably would have looked the same? The illustration is that there's something underneath the surface of the house. On the outside, they may look the same. On the outside, they may both look strong. But the fact is, one has a strong foundation, has something inside of it that you cannot see from the outside that is different from that other house. And the fact is, when life happens, when bad things happen through life, just by virtue of life happening, that when there are storms that come, when there's this house that is has a strong foundation, withstands the storms of life, and this other house that is not built on a strong foundation, does not withstand the storms of life. And really the lesson here, as Jesus Christ concludes this Sermon on the Mount, He said there has to be something within the house that's different. In other words, the Christian life is not just an outward show of our religion. The Christian life is more than a rituals, an attendance, of things that we do, and a set of rituals that we do to impress people around us and to communicate to people that we are indeed Christians. This whole Sermon on the Mount is about emphasizing what is taking place within the house. What is taking place within the heart, what is inside of the Christian, and not just what is manifested on the outside. Why? Because it is the tendency in the human nature to say, to emphasize, and to get the praise of men, but remember that we ought to be living for the praise of God. And that's how He started the Sermon on the Mount. You remember what He emphasized if you go back to the beginning of chapter number 5, which was the Beatitudes. You see, this whole sermon is connected. He begins with really really where the Christian life begins, the essence of the Christian life. And He begins in chapter 5 by saying this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that are begging for the blessing of God upon their lives. God says, blessed are those that realize and recognize that they need God. He goes on to say, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are those that mourn over their sin. You see, He's dealing with the inward man. He's not dealing with an outward show of, hey, look, I am a Christian, like the Pharisees would often do. They wouldn't say, hey, look at how I'm dressed. Look at the scriptures that I have hanging on my arm. Look at all the things that I do. Look at my offering here. Can you hear a drop in the bucket? That's how they live their life. And Jesus Christ emphasizes that, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn over their sin. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see, do you see those things? Those things are the opposite of an outward show and display of Christianity. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the spiritual beggars, and not those that are full of themselves. Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like this other person over here. Blessed are they that mourn over their sin, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, not those that hunger and thirst after the praise of men. You see, this is complete opposite in the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus Christ has emphasized in His Beatitudes, what you are is more important than the things that you have and the things that you do. Now, He goes on to talk in verse 13 and says, therefore, if you live that way, you are the salt of the earth. If you live the Beatitudes, you are the light of the world. Now notice what He says. He says, let your light so shine before men. Now notice here. He says, let your light shine before men. After living the Beatitudes. But now we just read in chapter 6, where Jesus says, do not do your alms before men. So, in appearance to us, as we look at this passage, it may appear to us that there is a contradiction. That there is, in one instance, we're supposed to show to a world that we are the light of the world, and therefore the world can glorify our Father which is in heaven. And so there is supposed to be something in the Christian life that people see that can say, these are Christian people. But on the other hand, then it says, look, but don't do things before men. Now, it's not a contradiction. Why? Because one comes out of what is inside of you. And the other is done in order to substitute what is not inside you. You see, on the one hand, living the Beatitude produces a certain type of life, and yet the other one is showing and revealing that there's nothing inside of you. There's no poor in spirit. There's no mourning. There's no meekness. There's no hungering and thirsting after righteousness. There's no mercy. You're not pure in heart. You're not a peacemaker. And therefore, you have to substitute your outward life to prove that there's something inside while there's not. While all you're seeking is not to please God, you're seeking the praise of men. And so we come to chapter 6. After Jesus Christ says, look, live those Beatitudes and let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then He goes on and says, look, let me set the record straight. You've heard that hath been said by them of old. And again, He emphasizes the heart, doesn't He? You've heard, don't commit murder, but I say unto you, don't hate. You've heard, don't commit adultery, but I say unto you, don't lust. You see, the heart of the issue again. He deals with those things. And what's the most important? He says, don't deal simply and preach against the act of adultery, the act of murder. Deal with the seed form of that sin that God sees. And that's what it ought to be dealt with. And so He deals with that at the end of chapter 5. And then now we come to chapter number 6, and we talk about what is commonly seen in the Christian life. He talks about almsgiving and fasting and praying and in chapter number 6. But I want us to see here, thy Father which seeth in secret. Although God is going to deal, Jesus Christ in this message is going to deal with what is revealed in our lives on the outside that people see, the emphasis is still on the secret place. It's not on the outward show, it is on the secret. Why? Why? This is so important for us, and I hope that we're understanding this as we're studying the sermon, because we cannot understand the Christian life unless we understand this truth. that the Christian life is not an outward show, because you can have an outward show of religion, but be as empty, as dark, as an unsaved person on the inside. But can I say that when we deal with the inside, when we deal with the root issue of the problem of why we struggle in the Christian life, and when we deal with setting ourselves right within us, and when our heart is right with God, everything else in our lives will be right, and the outside will be a reflection of the change that's taken place inside of our lives. You see, the human nature is to substitute by showing what's not within our heart. But if we focus on what's in the heart, it will be revealed on the outside. That's the whole sermon. That's what the whole sermon is about. And we have to get that. And so I want us to consider, as we think about your Father which seeth in secret this evening, I want us to consider, first of all, the tendency of human nature. The tendency of human nature. Jesus Christ seems, and that's how we know that He's God. He predicts things that's going to be said. Remember, before He deals with the law, He just said, look, I just want you to know, disciples, this is what you're going to hear. I'm not come to destroy the Moses and the prophets. I am come to fulfill. And so He knows that the accusation is going to come. Now, He knows here that in the context in which this is found, and He knows the scribes and the Pharisees and what they've been taught, He knows how they live, and so He predicts kind of the attitude of the Pharisees and what's really going on. He says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, notice, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees, we've already established that they loved to show an outward display of how spiritual they were. You remember there's this term that we read of phylacteries, something that they were instructed to do. The people of Israel, the Jews were instructed to wear scriptures on their bodies. And many times it would be kind of a small box that they would carry. Mostly it would be on one of their arms, and they would show a display. Well, what the scribes and the Pharisees did, they made it huge and bigger, to show and to display to everybody all of the scripture that they had displayed on themselves. It talks about the religious people during a particular time of the year. They would have basically a part of the robe that would hang down, in a color that would signify just to remember the Lord God. And what would happen is the scribes and the Pharisees would make those even longer, like a big, huge cape flowing behind them. And they would have a little Jewish boy carry that little cape behind them, and everybody would look at them and say, wow. You see, they emphasize all of the outside. They emphasize what people saw, and they did things to the praise of men. That is the human tendency that is in all of us, by the way. Why? Because it's much easier for us to display an appearance of righteousness than to get our hearts right with God. It's easier for us to do that. It's easier for us to dress well and to come to church and to behave as Christians and behave well in church. That's the easy thing. And we would like to, for people around us, to say, oh, look at that person and think about that person, and wow, that person is a wonderful Christian, and wow, look, they surely are good Christians as you look at their lives. But many times, if we are not careful, we get into the place where we do things for the praise of men. We do things because we want people to hear, wow, that great person, great lady, great man. And that's why they do things. They do things to hear those things before men. You see, the Jew at that time, they would look at the scribes and the Pharisees, and they thought to themselves, if anybody is going to inherit eternal life, it is surely those people. And no doubt, those religious people love to hear that. No doubt they thought to themselves, because of their behavior, huh, you see? And so the tendency of human nature is always to do things to be seen of men. But can I say that's fake and it's not real? And as a matter of fact, it may appear like a normal house. A house that seems on the outside to be just like all of the other houses. It seems to have its, that person may seem to have all of his life together. It seems to have all everything worked out, a wonderful job, a wonderful career, a smooth life. And we look at that life and say, why? It looks like everything's normal, but on the inside it's corrupt. Why? Because the motivation is to do things to be seen of men. He says in verse 2, therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. Now, we understand that they did not literally have someone with a trumpet before them say, here's the almsgiving. No, that's not how, but he's painting a picture. That it was all about the show. It was all about the display. It was all about what they would do so that other people would say, that's great. Isn't it interesting, though, that as we study the life of the scribes and the Pharisees throughout the Word of God, that there's an appearance of righteousness, there's an appearance of standing for the Word of God, there's an appearance on the outside to dress a certain way and to act a certain way and to condemn all the people around them to live a certain way and to a certain standard that the other people could not keep, as they bring a woman that had been caught in the act of adultery and they bring her to Jesus Christ and said, the law says she should be stoned. What do you say? And they seem to have this air of righteousness all on the outside. And if you preach against adultery, and if you preach against murder, and if you preach against all those things that are seen in the law, they would say, amen, hallelujah, preach it! But Jesus Christ, again and again, exposed their sin. He exposed their hypocrisy. And He basically told them that your hearts are black as the charred walls of hell, and there's nothing good within you. Your heart is an open sepulcher. And that was soon revealed, wasn't it? These people that looked all honest and all polished on the outside, when it came time to try Jesus Christ, they brought people to lie about Him. Although He had done nothing wrong. And even the Roman centurion who came and the Roman rulers that came and tried Jesus, they told these Jewish people, said, there's nothing wrong with Him. He's done nothing wrong. There's nothing wherewith that there's to accuse of Him. And so as they talked about Jesus Christ, they said, nevertheless, crucify Him. They committed murder. They committed treason. They lied. Why? Because their heart was corrupt. You see, eventually, all of the outward show that they showed in their lives was exposed, and their heart was exposed. In other words, their house, when you looked at the two houses, when it came time, when the flesh was tried, when the flesh was tested, it fell apart. Why? Because all the outside was an outward show, and there was nothing genuine and real inside. That's the tendency of human nature. But we see number two, the truth of Christian character. He goes on to say, verse 3, but when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So the tendency of human nature is to have an outward show, to live a pretense life. But the truth of human behavior, it is focused on what God sees. You see, the emphasis on the first one is on what man sees. And we are satisfied only with what men sees. And it's the attitude in the life of a Christian or someone that claims to be a Christian, it's the attitude of all that matters is the reputation that I have with men. But the truth of human behavior or character is the fact that they don't do things to be seen of men, they do the things to be seen of God. You see, the problem is, when we seek to be seen of men, every time there's different circumstances or different situations in our lives, the behavior changes or tweaks a little bit. And when, for example, there's a man that lives a certain way in his life and in his home life, and then he lives a different way in the church. Can you imagine being at a funeral and a pastor getting up of someone in the church, and he does a funeral for example, a man in the church, and he preaches the funeral and says, well, you know what, so-and-so, he lived a great life, he was a great Christian, he was faithful to church, and man, he seemed to be an exemplary Christian. And can you imagine after the funeral going to the back of the room and shaking everybody's hand, and then the wife of that husband that passed away came over and says, well, you know, all those things that you said of him, you didn't really know him. He appeared to be a certain way in church, but I'm telling you, he was not the same way at home. Can you imagine? But the other way is true, isn't it? The pastor could be preaching a funeral of a godly man in the church and says, you know what, he was a great fellow and He seemed to be a great man of prayer, and he was supportive and loved people, and he did all kinds of nice and generous things towards other people. Well, can you imagine at the end of the funeral, the wife coming and saying, "Pastor, you know what? All the things you said, my husband, you don't even know half. You say, you think you're going to miss him, but I heard him pray. And I saw him do things that nobody else knew he did." The secret. That's quite a different perspective. You see, the one side, they do things to be seen of men. But the other side, they do things to be seen of their Heavenly Father. And can I say that that is the crux of the Christian life? That everything we do in the Christian life ought to come out of a desire to please our Heavenly Father. And because if we do things to be pleased with men, we're going to find ourselves failing when the test comes. But if we do things out of a desire to please God, it will settle many things in our lives. And especially when the storm comes. You see, the true Christian life is lived to be seen of the Father and say, not the attitude of, "Hey, I wonder what people think about me," but the attitude of, "Oh, I wonder what God thinks of me. I wonder what His opinion is of me. I wonder how what He thinks about my life. I wonder what He thinks about my day and how I reacted to people. God, I wonder, is there any sin in my life that I need to get right? God, I wonder, is there any hypocrisy in me that I need to get right? God, is there anything in my life that is wicked in Your sight?" That's the true life of the Christian. It is the life of the Beatitudes. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." You see, the Beatitudes describes the secret life of the Christian that God sees. The true life. We live in the world, and here's the difficulty. Now, people will say things, "Well, all that matters is the heart." Well, I agree with that. I agree with that. If you follow the Word of God all the way through. Because typically the people that say that all that matters is the heart, they're making excuses for the sin in their life. "Well, God knows that I love Him. Well, I do this, yeah, but all that matters is the heart." And they say that excusing their behavior and the sin in their lives. Now, I agree that the heart is all that matters in the sense that when God has your heart, it will be manifested in your life and there will be Christ-likeness manifested. In other words, yes, God sees the heart, but can I say that everything that's in the heart is manifested on the outside? It's a reflection of what's in the heart. "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And I'll imagine if we study the Word of God, we could find many examples of men and women who lived life and it seemed to have it all together on the outside. But if you dig a little deeper, you'd find that their heart was empty and that there was a hypocrisy there and that they did things to be seen of men. I think of Samson, for example. Can you imagine being around the time when Samson was there as a judge in Israel? I mean, it must have been impressive. Remember when the soldiers there, the Philistines, tied a rope, brand new rope around his hand and he just kind of split it like that? You remember when they put a pillow through his hair and he walks around with a pillow stuck in his hair? Remember when he took the doors off of the walls of the camp of the Philistines and he walks up with those big doors? And so we look back at the life of Samson and say, "Wow, look at him. What a judge. What a man of God. Look at the things that he's done." But we know his heart, don't we? Why? Because we know all of his life. And we know that it seemed that everything was right on the outside, but we know that there was a problem in his heart. There was something that was not right within him. And we could study and we hear stories all the time. And it is sad to see that sometimes you hear of even preachers and people that have been in the ministry. And you hear of deacons and people that seem to have been Christians for a long time. And then you hear of something that they did that was devastating. And they left their wife for another woman in the church. And they left their wife for a teenager. And you hear all kinds of things going on. And you think, how is that possible? They seem to have it all together. They lived a life to be seen of men. But their father, which seeth in secret, knew a different story than what men saw. You see, it is very easy to fool other people, but we cannot fool God. So we see this whole message embodied. The tendency of human nature is to be all about what people see. But the truth about Christian behavior is about the secret place, what the Father sees. But also consider, thirdly, the tragedy. The tragedy is this in chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. This is the great tragedy. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. If you do those things that Jesus Christ has been explaining, that he emphasizes what is on the heart, on a secret place, on what the Father sees and not what men see. The emphasis on the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law. The emphasis is on living the beatitude life. The emphasis is on not living a life to be seen of men, but to be living a life as seen by God. If you hear the sayings of Christ, you're going to be like a man who built his house, a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And guess what? When the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, it failed not. Why? Because it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. If you discount the secret life, if you discount beatitude living, if all you emphasize is an outward show, but there is no genuine truth within your heart and sincerity before God, shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. You see, the great tragedy of that is that for a while, the house may seem to be stable. The house may seem to be fine. And you would put the two houses side by side and you think, you know what? They're good. They're good. No difference. No difference. The only thing that you see is that eventually one life is destroyed and the other is not. Now let me say this. The life that is destroyed is not destroyed because of the storm. The life that is destroyed because there's no foundation. You see, what happens is many times people blame the storm. Wow, they got, look, the trials in my life, the things that went on, all the things that went wrong, and so I just quit on God, and this happened. No, no, no. The issue is not the storm, it's not the rain, it's not the flood. The issue is the foundation. You see, there was an outward show of religion, but there was no depth. There was no foundation. There was no truth in Christian character. And that's why it fell apart. That's why many times people will live their life and they'll blame God. And they become bitter. And say, well, I quit on God. And so instead of blaming themselves and saying, you know what, I was the hypocrite. I live a pretentious life. I live a life on the outside that was not real. I lived to do things, to be pleased of men, to be pat on the back, to be applauded, to have my name written somewhere. And there was no truth there. Instead of saying that, you got to turn and blame the storm, blame God, blame the house falling apart. Well, there had to be something wrong with the house. Well, there had to be something wrong with God. There has to be something wrong with the storm. While all along neglecting what Jesus Christ is trying to say in this passage. The secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret. You've heard that have been said, don't do this, don't do that. Do this, do that. but I say unto you. You see, the message of this sermon is Jesus Christ. And look, I'll preach, and you've been here long enough to hear. I'll preach the Word of God, all of the Word of God, and I'll preach against sin, of the sins of the world, and I will do those things unapologetic. I will not apologize for preaching the truth. But can I say that if we do that while our heart is corrupt, we're destroying ourselves. It's not just about the outward show. It's about the heart. You see, Jesus Christ is truth. He says everything in life comes out of that. Everything in life. And may the Lord help us to get the message. I thought we'd just pause to look at the message as a whole to see what Jesus Christ is teaching here. To look at the great truth that He's trying to get His disciples to understand. Those that are going to, that are following Him. Those that He's about to leave in this world as He's about to send to heaven and is going to send His Holy Spirit and that's going to indwell within them. He's going to teach them, look, this is the Christian life. Everything comes out of what is inside. And guess what? If that is the way we live our lives, we can withstand anything with the Lord. Anything. Why? Because the foundation is right. May the Lord help us.